Of Washington State Fish and Wildlife Commission. This will be a lucky day for all, not a bad day. So, we have a very full day, lots of decisions. And somebody said yesterday the diversity is incredible, you know, going from moose to all other big critters, small critters. So a lot of decisions to put forward. And we will kick off with the call to order. So anything, commissioners, that you want to bring up? Yes, Commissioner Thorne, start the day off.
We have received an email from the WAG, which is meeting again. And they're holding a meeting on May 1st and 2nd in Spokane. The reason for the email is they're very interested in engaging with us and would like a commissioner or two to attend not only this meeting, but maybe start attending meetings. But particularly they're talking about the May 1st and 2nd meeting. I'm pretty sure that I will be able to attend some of it at least. But they did say a commissioner or two, so I'm bringing it up. And I guess what we could do is forward the email to everybody, but just so you know,
us. Yeah, let's forward the email. I can't make it. I'm in Alaska. Yeah.
In that vein, I just caught wind of this the other day. And that's when I was thinking about taking a day off and coming up for one day.
Good.
But now, what's the protocol on that?
Because we sit in the audience.
Okay.
So, at least when I've gone, I really have not been an active participant in the WAG process itself. They do allow public testimony at the end of the meeting. Okay. But since they're sort of wanting to have us engage, I don't know whether they'll bring us into the the WAG circle.
Okay, well, let's send that email around, and then you two will go to this one, and then other commissioners that want to attend one, I think a presence would be good. So after this meeting, we'll then deal with the next one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, like I said, so you think, are you going to go to both days, you think?
I'm going to have to check and see, because I'm also traveling, and we'll just be back, so I'm not certain whether I'll be
okay,
there.
Okay, well, maybe I'll try.
I'll communicate with you, Jay.
Okay. I would like to go, but I just wanted to find out what the protocol was, and not...
Yeah, well, that's what it has been, but this invitation is a little different, so...
Okay.
Yeah, read the note.
We could get in touch with Francine. In fact, she has her phone number in here. So.
I would suggest that.
Yeah.
Things down there from the commissioners?
I have a wildlife committee report.
Report.
All right, we met this morning, in fact, just a few minutes ago. And we talked about several topics, but grizzly bears was top of the list. It was a real interesting discussion. National Park Service and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, of course, are the lead agencies to do the EIS, which will be done by the end of the year. WDFW's role is to just look at those alternatives and how they compare to our RCWs. According to our RCW, WDFW cannot support final actions to bring in any animals. But once they're here, if that is the way this goes, they would become WDFW's responsibility. So that was an interesting fact to make sure we all understand. WDFW is focused, you know, also on the component, the 10J experimental population component, which allows basically a take where necessary. So, you know, maybe once they get out of a core area, there might be some reason to have to take that animal and translocate it back in, or to, you know, might even possibly be a lethal removal. So these were lessons, I think, learned from the WOLF program, that it's easier to have those things in place right up front. So that's a place where WDFW will be having some input. also that even in all of the alternatives, people need to remember it's a long-term recovery, you know, many, many decades to get to an estimated population of 200 that would take a long time to occur. Under the fastest alternative, you know, at five bears brought in per year every year, it's still decades. So it's an interesting topic. A little discussion of the wildlife rehab situations, lessons learned. WDFW is certainly saying, you know, we learned some things from what went on. At heaven's sake, better communications. The deer that are there, you know, survived the winter. Maybe a little habituation tendencies still have occurred, but there is a normal release going on, going to go on for the herd, and that's hopeful that that will resolve that situation. There's some discussion that this could lead to maybe some type of special endorsement for ungulates. You know, it's they're a unique animal that have to rehabilitate, so some upfront training could be very positive, or endorsements that areas or rehab places would have to get to make sure they know all the techniques. A little discussion of the raccoon negotiations, won't go into that too much. And then a quick discussion of the three-year package. And we mostly had time just to focus on some of the hot spots, so like the northeast deer numbers and guidelines for the hunt up there. There always is local folks there that we get a lot of communication from that say, you know, we see things different than the science is showing. And why are you doing this hunt when we're not seeing a lot of does, or we don't think the ratios are what you're saying? And so we just had a good, healthy discussion about that as to how we make sure we're including that local input, which I think we've gone overboard to try to make sure we're having the meetings that are necessary. But we also discussed a little bit, you know, kind of a citizen science approach, where if WDFW was to furnish certain guidelines to some of those folks that are there on the ground, they're driving the same road every day, and over 12 years they've seen changes in the number of deer they see in their alfalfa field. Well, if that's quantified and provided and becomes a component of the science that's used to put numbers in the three-year package, you know, maybe people feel better about the whole process. So we talked about that. And then for next meetings, we're going to get into it a little bit of a discussion, I think, on duck hunting over flooded cornfields and some of the dog training issues that have popped up in the Snoqualmie Wildlife Area.
Can I just...
Anybody else? Yeah.
Just on the wildlife rehabilitation, the department is moving forward with an advisory committee that is about to be comprised, and this, I think, will be a real important group in terms of the department's relationships with the volunteer rehabilitators.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a couple of comments on oriented toward the topic of the Wildlife Committee meeting being an open meeting as opposed to a closed meeting. I'm very interested in having this experiment on the open meetings for committees work as good as it could. So I have one logistical comment and then a comment on substance. This room was a little bit awkward this morning because it was the same room we're all coming into. There was a little interruptions at the end. I had to walk down the hallway to the training room that we actually met in some time ago. And it was dark, and it was available, and it's large. So just as a matter of logistics, that might be a more comfortable setting for a wildlife committee meeting in the morning rather than have the pseudo-interruptions of people coming in. On a matter of substance, this morning the wildlife staff's briefing on the matters that are coming up on the agenda that Commissioner Caney spoke to is very, very valuable. And for someone who otherwise would be excluded from hearing that and is trying to learn about wildlife things, it's very valuable to be able to learn that, and seems far more efficient than asking for personal briefings or trying to involve the entire commission with that kind of thing. And the staff briefings on things that are coming up on the agenda for this meeting, whether it be hypothetically this meeting or one meeting in the future, do seem to be very valuable. And when the public would like to know how an individual commissioner actually got in their mind their position on what to vote, the staff briefings are extremely important in that. And so doing that in an open and transparent manner, I think, greatly enhances our image with people who might think otherwise on how commissioners get in their minds their positions when it comes to voting. Thank you.
Commissioner Keel, you want to do your report?
Yes. Thank you,
Mr. Chair. The Fish Committee met yesterday afternoon. The Fish Committee included myself, Commissioner Graybill, Commissioner Thorburn, and Commissioner McIsaac filled in for Commissioner Carpenter, the chair of the Fish Committee, who was absent due to illness. There were four members of the public present, in addition to the Fish Program Assistant Director Ron Warren, Fish Program Deputy Kelly Cunningham, and department staff making presentations. The agenda included continuing review of the Columbia River policy and also Puget Sound Dungeness crab fisheries management. And I know we're going to get a briefing during this meeting on the Dungeness crab policy, the season in general. But this was a slightly different topic. And also to the North of Falcon, 2018 North of Falcon salmon season topic was removed due to a presentation to the full commission under the director's report today. Ms. Cindy LaFleur and Mr. Ryan Lathrop made presentations on the Columbia River policy review. Ms. LaFleur recommended slight changes in the review process and schedule document to adjust the dates of the advisory body review prior to the June Fish Committee meeting and to add advisory body meetings in July, including a meeting on the east side of the state. The Fish Committee concurs with this staff recommendation and recommends the full commission accept these changes to the policy 3620 comprehensive review process and schedule document. You know, just a little bit on that. I think the Fish Committee is very much wants public engagement in this document to the extent that we can get full buy-in from all parties affected. More meetings with the public, more input, the better. And then Mr. Lathrop reviewed the Category A answers, and if you will recall, Category A are answers or questions that the staff feels their responses are reasonably complete. So Mr. Lathrop went over those in the current draft. The committee discussed the analysis presented and thanked Mr. Lathrop and other staff involved for the additional information and analysis that will be included in the next draft of the policy review document. And then turning to Dungeness crab, Puget Sound Dungeness crab, Mr. Bob Sizemore, the crab manager, provided the Fish Committee with an excellent presentation on the status of Dungeness crab in southern Puget Sound. Unfortunately, staff analysis shows a serious decline in the abundance of Dungeness crab in areas 6 and 7, which is, you know, down here in this neighborhood, Olympia and Vashon Island area in general, including an alarming recruitment failure for two age classes that have yet to mature to legal size in the fishery. It's kind of similar to the sturgeon presentation that we got. There are mature classes. The analysis indicates that there's nothing behind it, or very few. So after extensive review of all the available information and consultations with the affected treaty tribes and the public, The Fish Division will recommend to the director to close both Dungeness and Rock Summer fisheries in Areas 6 and 7. It is expected that the tribal co-managers will agree in closing tribal fisheries with the exception of a small amount of take for tribal ceremonial and subsistence purposes. And this is a matter that is delegated to the director under the current crab policy, and the Fish Committee in general is comfortable with the analysis and supports the staff recommendation on this matter. So you can expect to see some more development on that front in the future. So that's the end of my report. If there's any questions or comments, more discussion?
Thank you, sir.
Go ahead, Don. No, go ahead.
With regard to the Fish Committee recommendation to accept the adjustments in the schedule and process, absent any objection here, can we presume that the full commission does accept that recommendation?
Thank you.
And I know we're busy, but I just got to tell everybody this. I got a kick out of it yesterday because there again, we all spend hours in meetings and we have to put duct tape around our head to keep our head from exploding and all this stuff, and it wears and wears and wears. But crawled on the bus to go out to the rental car from SeaTac, and these two young kids were on the bus and they had on their Cabela's caps and stuff, and I was going, hey, what the heck? So I got to quiz them. I said, what are you doing? You hunters or fishermen? It's fishermen. Those kids had flown from Minnesota out here and were going steelhead fishing. And it was so cool. They were just stoked because one of them was in the service out here and he'd brought his brother-in-law out and they were headed. So it was kind of one of those you're going, yeah, this is a lot of work, pain in the butt at times, but that was really cool to see.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nice note. Anything else on the commission input? Then we will move into the meeting minute approval.
Yes.
My wing person over here.
Yeah, sorry.
March 15th, 17th.
Okay. I move to approve the March 15th through 17th Washington Fish and Wildlife Commission minutes as submitted.
Motion has been made. Is there a second? Mr. McIsaac seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Minutes are approved. Those are the only minutes.
Yes.
Okay. And then we've done the committee reports, if available. So